Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. As you probably heard, the U.S. House approved a new health care plan designed by the Republicans to replace Obamacare. Michigan Republican members of Congress were united in the condemnation of Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act. Representative John Moliner says he voted for the new plan to, quote, rescue Americans from the collapsing health care law. Representative Paul Mitchell said the Affordable Care Act continues to collapse. Families continue to struggle. Representative Dave Trott said the voters make it clear they want to see a new direction for our nation's health care system. And Representative Tim Walberg said Obamacare is on the brink of collapse and has failed to live up to its many promises. Well, here to talk about the issues of Obamacare and what the new American Health Care Act does and does not do is John Agyanian. He's the director of the Institute for Health Policy and Innovation at the University of Michigan. Let's start with the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. We've heard from small businesses that the premiums are skyrocketing and some states' insurance companies are pulling out. Is it broken? What's happening to Obamacare?
So the Affordable Care Act has done a lot of good over the past several years, expanding coverage to about 24 million Americans, and in many parts of the country, helping to bring people into the health insurance system that were priced out of it before, either through expanded Medicaid coverage like we've had here in Michigan, the Healthy Michigan Plan, or through subsidized coverage under the exchanges or the marketplaces to allow individuals and small businesses to get coverage. What we see now is that in some states, those marketplaces are struggling. Premiums are rising substantially and insurers are pulling out. And so they're not functioning well as markets. In other parts of the country, they're functioning quite well. So it's hard to say that across the board, the Affordable Care Act is failing or succeeding when we really have to look within states and individual markets to understand how it's working.
I think part of the resistance is probably because a lot of people don't like the idea of government mandating they do anything. Could the Affordable Care Act be fixed, tweaked, or does it have to be scrapped, as the Republicans say?
The Affordable Care Act could absolutely be repaired and improved if we could achieve some bipartisan political consensus in Washington. In those markets where prices are rising too quickly or insurers are pulling out, there are constructive steps that Congress could take and the Department of Health and Human Services and the federal government could take to shore up those markets while preserving the successes in other parts of the country. We've also seen that the Medicaid expansion here in Michigan, as well as in 30 other states in the District of Columbia, has generally been well accepted. And it's allowed many people who were priced out of the insurance market and access to affordable health care to gain coverage, particularly adults with incomes under $16,000 a year. So there's definitely opportunity to improve the Affordable Care Act. The American Health Care Act, I think, has raised some serious issues that will be difficult to address going forward in a bipartisan way.
We'll get to that in just a second, but I wanted to find out, you did some research about how Obamacare was doing in Michigan. What has it done for the state?
Well, and particularly we focused on the Healthy Michigan Plan in partnership with the Michigan Department of Health.
That's the Medicaid expansion.
The Medicaid expansion, that's right. And it's expanded coverage to about 650,000 adults in Michigan between ages 18 and 64. So it's really had an important impact on access to care and reducing the financial stress that goes with being uninsured for Michigan adults. What we've seen is, for example, uncompensated care, charity care that hospitals provide to people who can't pay their bills, has gone down by nearly half in the first 2 years of the Affordable Care Act. And so that has really helped the financial position of Michigan hospitals and community health centers, particularly those that serve large numbers of low-income adults. And when those hospitals and health centers are doing better, they can provide better services to everyone in their community. So that's an important step forward. We've also seen that the people who've gained coverage report they're less worried about paying medical bills or going bankrupt because of their medical care, that they can access care more effectively, and they're beginning to use preventive services and primary care. And we've also begun to see that about half of those covered by the Medicaid expansion are working, and another quarter are looking for work. And many of them report that they're able to do a better job at work or look for a better job because they're more secure in their health care.
Let's turn to the Republican plan, the American Health Care Act. President Trump says it's a great plan. It doesn't mandate coverage. Instead of subsidies, it provides a refundable tax credit based on age and income. States would be able to get waivers from covering essential health benefits and waivers to let insurers charge consumers more if they have pre-existing conditions which, as I understand it, is defined as anything from diabetes to sexual assault or a C-section. It also caps Medicaid coverage on a per-person basis. So who's going to be better off under this plan and who's not?
What we've seen from the Congressional Budget Office that evaluated the original proposal that came out a couple months ago, and we're now waiting for their updated assessment of the new bill that was passed in the House this week, what they reported was that younger, healthier, and more wealthy adults would potentially see their costs of insurance coverage go down, but that older, sicker, and less wealthy adults, particularly those over age 50 with chronic conditions and lower incomes, they could see their costs of health insurance and out-of-pocket spending for medical care go up substantially on the order of $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 per year.
Wow. The Senate is promising substantial changes. Do we have any idea what that might mean?
It's going to be very important to see how this takes shape over the coming weeks. We're waiting for that Congressional Budget Office score or evaluation in terms of what impact this bill will have on the federal budget and the number of people potentially losing coverage. The original bill 2 months ago was estimated to cause 24 million Americans to lose coverage over the next 10 years, basically erasing the gains that we've seen under the Affordable Care Act. There's also a provision in the Senate called the Byrd Rule, which for bills like this that can pass the House with a simple majority, in the Senate, only provisions that relate to the federal budget, either spending or revenue, can be passed with a simple majority in the Senate. And the Republicans have a 52-vote majority in the 100-vote Senate. Anything that is not directly related to the budget will generally require 60 votes, which means 8 Democratic senators would need to go along. And many of the provisions in this bill passed by the House this week may not meet that Byrd Rule because they don't directly relate to the budget. Things like allowing insurers to charge higher premiums for older or sicker adults, that may not meet that Byrd Rule provision.
So we'll need those 60 votes, which means the Democrats get a say.
They certainly get a say in those provisions. So there are other pieces, for example, changes to the Medicaid program and cutting back on about $880 billion of Medicaid funding over the next decade. That potentially could pass with a simple majority in the Senate. But many Republican senators as well as Republican governors have raised substantial concerns about what that would mean for people in their states who've gained coverage over the past 3 years.
John Ionian is the director of the Institute of Healthcare Policy and Innovation at the University of Michigan. He's also a professor of internal medicine and of public health and public policy. Thanks for coming in and explaining this to us because I haven't heard anybody else do that good of a job yet.
Thank you very much.